Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
The field just crawls off the corner. The green flag is waving, and we're underway here at Dover.
Caution is on the speedway here at Dover because Mother Nature has decided to pay us a visit.
And here we are on a Monday, getting ready for action at Dover.
Trouble. Round goes Austin Cindric. Nearly lost the handle. Slides up. Tank slaps the outside retaining wall.
Trouble out of turn number four. Kyle Larson is around. He'll spin it on the main straightaway.
Kyle Busch letting it all hang out. He takes Justin Haley for second. He takes Bowman for the lead. Busch will go to the top of the leaderboard.
Oh, look out. Trouble. Oh, Denny Hamlin gets collected by Cody Ware. Denny Hamlin tried to avoid. Could not get out of the way fast enough. Martin Truex Jr. around on the back straightaway as Chase Elliott rockets up out of turn number four and will win at Dover. Chase Elliott is a two-time winner at the Monster Mile, taking the Duramax Dryden 400.
And there you go. That's how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, also on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you. Chase Elliott with his first victory of the season. You heard it there, his second at the Dover Motor Speedway. Had to wait till Monday to get this thing in, but ultimately they do. Today's show presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Nashville Super Speedway, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. We have a great show planned for you. William Byron coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Chase Briscoe at the bottom of the hour. So two drivers to talk about things going on. William Byron is actually racing at the Nashville Fairgrounds, so he's going to talk about that, and Darlington Throwback Weekend as well. But Chase Elliott, if you haven't paid attention, then you may think, okay, well, he finally got a win. He joins Hendrick Motorsports drivers of getting a win. The first time in NASCAR history that four drivers with a team have won in the first 11 races. Pretty amazing stat that all four now have wins. Byron, of course, with a pair of wins, but he's also been leading the points. Chase Elliott has had some pretty good finishes to this point and a lot of consistency on the season for him. And so now he's finally rewarded with a victory. But if you look at his numbers this year, the Daytona 500, he had him a top 10. And then things fell off at Auto Club, but bounces back with a ninth place finish at Vegas, 11th at Phoenix, sixth at his home track in Atlanta, fourth at COTA, 14th at Richmond, and then another top 10 at Martinsville in the Bristol Dirt Race and Talladega in seventh, and finally gets the win. So consistency has certainly been there for him. There's been a couple of stage wins as well. So, you know, Chase Elliott really has been impressive. He just hasn't gotten the wins to this point. Two stage wins for him on the year. And obviously he was very excited when he caught up with Jamie Little of Fox Sports.
Chase, I talked to Alan Gustafson this morning. He said, we're not very good. We weren't very good yesterday. What did you two together do to this car to be so dominant the second half of this race and finally get back to victory lane?
Yeah, just had some good circumstances finally. Just really appreciate Alan and our entire team for just sticking with it. You know, we've had some tough races over the last, 4 or 5 months, and just great to get Napa back to victory lane. Great to get Hendrick Motorsports back to victory lane. Just so proud. This one means a lot in a lot of different ways, but just appreciate all the effort. Watch out, we're rolling. But thanks to all the fans for coming out. You are always awesome. Hope to see this big crowd here next year. But just a huge thanks to everybody involved. It's been a fun day, and we're certainly going to enjoy it. Like I told them after the race, those guys, they've been deserving of one for a while. So glad we could get across the line first, and we'll enjoy it for a few days and go to work next week.
So Chase Elliott, the winner at Dover earlier this week, and as I mentioned, he joins his Hendrick Motorsports teammates as winners this year. So in the victory for Chase Elliott, he leads 73 laps. Ross Chastain did lead 86. So Elliott gets the win. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., nice run for him in second. Chastain comes home third, another top five for that team. Christopher Bell fourth, Alex Bowman fifth, Kyle Larson sixth, Kyle Busch seventh, Chris Buescher eighth, solid run for him, Kevin Harvick ninth, and Eric Jones rounding out the top 10. Then it's Justin Haley, Martin Truex Jr., Chase Briscoe, Daniel Suarez, Cole Custer, Bubba Wallace, Michael McDowell, Corey LaJoy, Eric Almirola, Brad Keselowski, your top 20. Truex and Chastain had a little bit of an incident there at the end. They got into each other. That's why Truex ended up where he did. They had a conversation on pit road. When asked about it, Chastain said they were discussing a fishing trip. So I don't think that's the truth, but that's what it was. But I mentioned Chase Elliott and the consistency that he's had. He was asked in his post-race availability his mindset to this point and what the win does for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's really affected my approach. I mean, I want to do good every week regardless of what's going on around me. But, just proud of our team for sticking with it. You know, I feel like we've had a lot of pace at different times throughout the year. We just hadn't put an entire race together, really, until today. I feel like been fast at one point or fast at another, or just, you know, not quite putting it all together all in one, you know, 3.5-4 hour time frame, and it was just nice to do that today. So just proud of our team, proud of Alan, and really just our entire group for continuing to bring good attitudes to the racetrack and coming in with the right mindset every week regardless of what happened the week before, and to me that says a lot about their character and the kind of group that we have. So, you know, as always, just really proud of them and excited to get a win still fairly early in the season. So that's always a good thing, good opportunity to build some more wins and some more bonus points before we get to the playoffs and a lot of racing left though, for sure.
Larry McReynolds said on Fox Sports before they went to the interview to him that whenever Chase Elliott gets his first win, that makes him even more dangerous. And it's come early. There are more road courses on the schedule, but he's finally won on an oval again. He's got some good tracks coming up that he knows how to run at. Darlington's one of them. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Chase Elliott pop off some more wins here in the near future. I think that he's very much a championship contender. And you've seen him in the championship for the last couple years. He's obviously got a championship that he won in 2020. But I definitely would not rule him out at all as getting several wins. Hendrick Motorsports at the same time, just been fantastic this year. Another winner that I got to shout out before we move on to the Hall of Fame, Josh Berry of Hendersonville, Tennessee, now driving full-time for Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series in that number 8 car. We saw him get a couple of wins last year as a part-time driver. I was at Dover last year. He had a very good car on Saturday, didn't win that race, but came very close, made his Cup Series debut the next day as a fill-in driver, but he gets his first victory of the year in the Xfinity Series, and he talked about that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a combination of the adjustments the guys made and just getting a little bit cleaner air on the restarts, just doing a better job on the restarts. Just made a couple of mistakes early on the bottom and just got loose, and, you know, thankfully nothing big happened out of that or too big, but this place is tough. You got to be free. You got to be on the freer side to be fast, especially on the long run. So it's a constant balance of takeoff speed versus long run speed. And, you saw at the end, we got the short run speed better for 30 so laps and then kind of built tight the last couple. And Justin was able to reel us back in the lap traffic. But, we played it right. And, you know, the race was 200 laps and we were able to get the win.
Josh Berry, an extremely talented driver, obviously has come up through the short track ranks, now in the Xfinity Series full-time. I do believe he's going to get a Cup opportunity. And, you know, with all the questions that Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kelly Earnhardt Miller get asked about moving Junior Motorsports to the Cup Series, they have, in my opinion, right now a full stable that you could build a Cup program around. I mean, Josh Berry and Noah Gregson, you could obviously move up and build your team around as two young drivers. Justin Allgaier has been a Cup Series regular before, so he would obviously make a lot of sense. And Sam Mayer is still very young, somebody that needs some seasoning, but certainly has the potential to get to that point. So I would be curious. And, you know, Gregson, I think if they don't go Cup Series racing next year, Gregson, they're probably going to lose, because I think he's going to get an opportunity somewhere, because he's just so dang good. He's got to win already this year. But congrats to Hendersonville's Josh Berry on getting the W. The Hall of Fame class was announced this week, and they changed this a few years ago. That they basically have a Pioneer member that goes in, and then two Modern Era members that go in. Then they have the Landmark Award, which is, you know, for somebody that has done a lot for the sport. That went to Mike Helton, longtime president, and well deserved. Mike has done so much to help change the landscape of NASCAR, which I think is really cool. I've had the opportunity to meet him a few times. He is a fantastic human being, a big guy, but kind of comes across as a little intimidating, but he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. Herschel McGriff is the Pioneer entry, or Pioneer winner, for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He had the longest career of any driver in the sport, so he gets into the Hall of Fame. And then the two Modern Era members that go in, I know that one of these raised some eyebrows, but I don't disagree with it. There, you know, I want to see Neil Bonnett. I want to see some other guys that are still on the ballot that haven't gotten in. But Matt Kenseth is now a Hall of Famer. Matt Kenseth is a champion, won a lot of races in his career, and I think a little underrated. And I know Dale Earnhardt Jr. was very, very happy to see his friend Matt Kenseth get into the Hall of Fame, and Matt chatted about what it means to be a Hall of Famer.
To be totally honest, no, I never really thought of it much. I mean, especially in 2010, you know, I still was, you know, still had, you know, a decade to race, or hoped I would, or whatever, or longer. So, you know, at the time, I never really looked forward to really anything like that, and I never really probably looked back at the time either. Really enjoyed, you know, some of the wins or things you had up to that point. It was really always just the, you know, the next race. You know, what can I do better the next week? How can we, you know, get more competitive? How can we win the next race? How can we run for the next championship? Whatever it may be. So I think when you're, at least for me, when I was in the midst of it, I never really thought about anything like that. You know, when I was currently racing.
So congratulations to Matt Kenseth, longtime Roush Fenway Racing driver, and Joe Gibbs as well. Wisconsin zone. The other Modern Era member made me very happy, because as a longtime Dale Earnhardt fan, this guy was a integral part in all the success, helped with four championships for the Intimidator. Kirk Shelmerdine, his crew chief for a very, very long time in the, you know, late 80s and the early 90s. They won a lot of races together, and as I mentioned, the four championships. He joins Dale Earnhardt and Richard Childress in the Hall of Fame. He was the guy behind the Flying Aces, Kirk Shelmerdine, in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was reasonably certain someday I'd be in there. And like I say, having been on a ballot for a few times and not elected, I kind of figured that might be the case again, which is okay. It's still some awful big names to be rubbing shoulders with, but I'm happy and surprised and honored.
So I like how they do this now. I think getting, you know, when they established the Hall of Fame, it was built in 2010. You know, there were certain people they just had to go ahead and put in. And so they had bigger classes, and then you've obviously had some retirement since then. But I do think that I like now that it's, you know, two from the Modern Era. They've made it a little more difficult, or you got to wait a little longer to get in for certain guys. So I think that's cool. I like this class, and we'll see what it looks like moving forward as the 2023 Hall of Fame class has been announced. Coming up next, let's talk to a driver, William Byron. He had a big week. They announced, of course, it was after we taped this interview, but they announced a contract extension for him, so 3 more years at Hendrick Motorsports. He's going to be racing at the Nashville Fairgrounds this weekend. We'll tell you why. Coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, it is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway and also Apple Collision Center and the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5, The Game, 92.1, The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
We're back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're also on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you, and it's all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And speaking of the fairgrounds, somebody that's going to be racing there in the late models this weekend, Willie B. William Byron is on the line with us. William, how you doing?
Good. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we'll get into your Cup season, because obviously that's been going well, but you love the late model short track life too, and I know you're excited to be running the historic Nashville Fairgrounds. They have the North-South Super Late Model Challenge this weekend. That's what you're going to be in, but how excited are you to run the fairgrounds?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I got a chance to run there yesterday and kind of, you know, get experience with the track again. It's been probably 6 years since I've been there, so it's been a while, but love the racetrack. It's so much fun. It's got a lot of character, and it just is a challenge as a driver to go there. So looking forward to the race, and I feel like our car is going to be competitive, and just excited to hopefully have a shot at another win with the super late model. It's definitely been a good year on that side of things.
Yeah, you mentioned the learning the track and the difficulty of it. I mean, the surface is old, which I know drivers love. Like, it's worn out, but it'll eat up tires. But that place has got some dips and some bumps. So how do you navigate all of that?
Well, definitely it's got a lot of character. You know, I think off turn two, it's got a big bump, and the straightaways are really flat. So, you know, it's, the banking's a lot in the corners, but the straightaways are kind of flat and narrow. So makes for a tough racetrack for that reason. So, you know, I think it's a really cool place and got a lot of history to it, and hopefully can get a little bit of piece of history myself this weekend.
Talking to William Byron, who will be at the Nashville Fairgrounds this weekend for the North-South Super Late Model Challenge. This place obviously has been in the news a lot as SMI is trying to work a deal with the city to run it, to fix it up, to bring big time NASCAR racing back to it. Obviously, you guys raced at the Nashville Super Speedway last year. You'll be back here in June for the Ally 400. So this city has embraced your sport. There's a huge spot for it. The banquet's here. But as somebody that's a short track racer and loves running at places like this, how exciting is it to know that there could be even more of a future at the Nashville Fairgrounds?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I would hope that we get a chance to race there in some form or fashion. I feel like it's got a great, you know, it's got great history, like I said, and I feel like, you know, any time we can go to more short tracks is a good thing. I think we put on great races and, you know, good competition. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting more of those, and, you know, we'll see what they do with the track. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So this new car in the Cup Series, to shift to that, the next gen car, how are you feeling about it now? Does it, you've got two wins under your belt in this thing, so you have to feel pretty good about it. But do you feel like that you guys have learned it and now it's just improving on what you already know?
Yeah, honestly, I think we're continuing to learn the race car as we go, and it's different at every track, so it's hard to kind of get a clear idea of what the car needs yet, but it's different everywhere we go. So certainly is a place that, you know, certainly is a car that takes a lot of work and adaptation period. So we're learning a bunch on the car, especially over the last, you know, month or so. So just have to continue to learn and grow. This month of May is going to be really eye-opening to kind of see how the car develops on these mile and a half tracks and kind of what we do with it going forward. So looking forward to learning a lot this weekend at Darlington, and hopefully applying that stuff as we get further down the road into the playoffs, because Darlington is a playoff track, so it's definitely an important place.
You have the two wins, as I mentioned, at Atlanta and Martinsville, and one, I hope you found a good spot for that grandfather clock, because that's the coolest trophy in NASCAR. But
How does that allow you? You mentioned learning the new car. How does that allow you and your team to maybe take more risks, because you know that you have those two wins, you're in the playoffs, you obviously want to get the stage points and have better seating, but does it give you a little more room to maybe take a bigger swing at things because you've already got the wins?
It does. I mean, I think that we can, you know, we always want to try to go win, but, you know, we don't have to be so critical of ourselves of how the race goes, and we just have to gather those notes in that notebook and gather information. So I think that, you know, it's really important that we gather as much info as we can on these weekends, and the only way you do that is by making laps and learning and progressing. So, yeah, definitely really important to build a good foundation for the rest of this year, because this car is so fresh.
William Byron is with us of Hendrick Motorsports. So did you guys give Chase a hard time because he was the last one of the Hendrick drivers to get a win last week at Dover?
No, I mean, those guys, they're very, you know, internally motivated, and I feel like they've been doing a good job this year. They've had a lot of really good runs. He's been really consistent. You know, just hadn't had the win yet. So definitely cool to see him get a win. And you know, I know his momentum and confidence will be high this weekend. So it'll be tough to beat as well. So it's a good thing for everyone at Hendrick Motorsports, because we've got all four of us in the playoffs, and you know, it's pretty cool.
So this weekend at Darlington, the Goodyear 400 is throwback weekend, which is one of my favorites in NASCAR. And you're running a paint scheme that I always loved of the Exalta 24 Jeff Gordon throwback. How excited, and I think you've run the rainbow car before, but how excited are you to put the flames on the car and run your boss's old car?
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be special, because it's such an iconic paint scheme, and you know, it's just going to be a special weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. I know he'll be excited. I know he's going to be pumped to see it on the grid and things like that. So looking forward to, you know, hopefully having a really good result with it.
Jeff Gordon, of course, who we're talking about, you know, won a lot of races and championships in that 24 car. But now that he is the vice chairman and he's more involved on a day-to-day basis, and I know I remember him talking at Daytona that he loves working with all four of you and you know, helping you guys develop. But for you specifically, how big of a deal has it been to have a four-time Cup Series champion in Jeff Gordon available to you as you continue to grow in your career?
It's been awesome. I mean, I think that, you know, it's really been a great thing for us to get to know each other more. And, you know, he's given me a lot of good advice over the years, especially as I get more experience and I'm able to apply a lot of the things that he's told me over the last couple of years. So it's been great. And honestly, to have a, you know, four-time NASCAR champion in your corner is pretty cool.
And as we wrap this up, William, you know, as you've been racing, you know, all over the country in the Cup Series, and you mentioned the late model program, and you know, something that I know was talked about a lot with Kyle last year was Mr. H, you know, allowing you guys to race more out of the Cup Series. You guys are racers at the end of the day. So how beneficial has that been, that you're able to go do some other things outside of the Cup Series?
Yeah, I think honestly it's just been really helpful to just kind of keep a clear head and be able to be in a lot of different vehicles is good for your mindset and being able to adapt to different conditions. So it helps just to have that experience and be adaptable and be able to learn different things and different car characteristics and all that stuff. So I've been excited about how it's been going so far, and obviously I've gotten a few wins, so hopefully I can continue to get a few more wins this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. William, it's good to talk to you again. Congratulations on the success so far. And, hey, have fun at the fairgrounds Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a big crowd, and good luck.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, man.
That is William Byron, of course, driver of the number 24 Exalta Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. But he will be in Nashville Saturday, the North-South Super Late Model Challenge. That's what he's going to be in. That brings the best super late model drivers from the North and South to compete at America's favorite short track, the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Grandstands will open at 3 o'clock. Racing begins at 5. The North-South Super Late Model Challenge will be the second race of the day. You can see three divisions on Saturday. Pro Late Models, Super Late Models, and then the ARCA Menards Series East. It's going to be a great field of cars expected for that Super Late Model race. You're going to have about 30 in that. And some other big names that you all may know: Steven Nass, Bubba Pollard, Cole Williams, Sammy Smith, Chandler Smith, Dylan Fetcho, Cody Coughlin, along with William Byron as well. Appreciate him for taking the time to join us. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Chase Briscoe, the driver of the number 14 for Stewart Haas Racing. That's all next on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you. It's all presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway. And we're pleased to be joined by a gentleman that will be racing out at the Nashville Super Speedway later this summer. And he's a Cup Series winner. Chase Briscoe is on the line with us, driver of the number 14 Stewart Haas Racing Ford. Chase, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. It's good to talk to you because I haven't gotten a chance to have you on since you got that win at Phoenix. But congratulations in your second year in the Cup Series, being a Cup Series winner.
Yeah, thank you. It was definitely crazy. Of all the places, I'd say Phoenix would have been one of the last ones I would have thought I would ever get a win at. So definitely cool to knock one out early in the year. And you know, being good at Phoenix now has a lot of stock, you know, just because that's where our championship race ends. So, yeah, we've been pretty good this year. We've had a lot of speed, just haven't really honestly been able to capitalize on a lot of it. Just need to do a little bit better job of finishing and putting all these races together. And that's what we did at Phoenix that day. And hopefully we can do it again here soon.
How do you feel like you're grasping this next-gen car? Obviously, every driver in the garage has been faced with it because of the unknowns. But, you know, for you as a younger driver, only your second year in the Cup Series, do you think it's maybe been an easier learning curve for you, or how do you feel like it's going?
Yeah, I feel like for us, it's definitely been a little bit easier than I thought it was going to be, truthfully. It was really a struggle for us when we went and tested that car, I want to say in October, at the end of last year, and now for us,
you're all good.
Yeah, we've been pretty good, honestly, all year long, and the car drove way better, honestly, than I thought it was going to all year long. And for us as a company, I think we've done a really good job of trying to figure this car out, kind of what it needs, and you know, it was going to be a huge thing if you could be one of the first teams to kind of figure it out from the get-go, and we've done a really good job of that, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I think so too. It's been fun to watch to see how all of you have been able to grasp this thing. But you know, one thing that stood out to me, Chase, is the fans are enjoying it too. You're having great television ratings. You're seeing fans come to the racetrack. So how cool has that been? To you know, it stinks because of the rain at Dover, but they're gonna have the best crowd that they've had in over a decade. But that's what we've seen. How cool has that been from the driver's seat?
Yeah, it's been super cool. It's something that, honestly, I haven't really got to experience yet. You know, 2020, you know, my Xfinity year was when COVID happened. And 21 was, you know, obviously still a COVID year where we had kind of limited attendance at a lot of places. And this year now, to finally be in the Cup Series and be racing in front of these sold-out crowds has been super cool. I feel like everywhere we've gone this year, there's been, you know, nearly a sold-out crowd everywhere we go. So, yeah, like Dover this past weekend was a huge crowd, more people than I've ever seen there. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun to be a part of that, the atmosphere and the electricity, whatever you are in front of a sold-out crowd, really cool. So I'm looking forward to you know, obviously this weekend in Darlington, with it being Mother's Day weekend, I think we're having a lot of people out there as well. And it's been really neat for sure. Anytime you can race in front of, you know, 100,000-plus people, it's nothing cooler than that.
Chase Briscoe is on the line with us. And speaking of Darlington, your throwback is for the boss, his Indy 500 car. I saw the pictures of him checking it out, but how cool is that going to be to for throwback weekend to pay homage to Tony Stewart?
Yeah, Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, he was my hero growing up, and there's a lot of cool connections with that paint scheme, at least for me. You know, obviously the Tony connection, just being a diehard Tony fan growing up, but then you also throw in the Indianapolis connection, and, you know, Indianapolis was only an hour and 10 minutes from my house growing up an Indiana kid. You know, the Indianapolis 500 is definitely special, and then, you know, the third thing is just how tough of a feat that was, you know, to finish both races. I mean, 1,100 miles in one day. And then Mahindra, our sponsor, that's kind of their motto, is the official tractor and tough. So to have a tough thing like that, that Tony did, it's pretty neat. I know Tony saw the car, I want to say, I guess it was Monday, and he was a big fan of it. So it's always cool to get the boss man to be a big fan of it as well.
How beneficial is it for you as a young driver to be able to lean on somebody like a Tony Stewart, your teammates Kevin Harvick and Eric Almirola, who've been doing this for a while, you and Cole? You know, obviously still young in your career, so how big has that been to be able to have those guys to talk to?
Yeah, it's been huge. It's kind of a best case scenario for me, I think, you know, being at Stewart Haas, because you have Tony, who's obviously done it all, comes from the exact same background that I did growing up with sprint cars, and then you have Kevin, who's obviously one of the best future Hall of Famer as well, and has just kind of really seen everything there is from the business standpoint, you know, off the racetrack, but as well as on the racetrack. And you have Eric, who is obviously not as much experience as Kevin, but still is another veteran guy that you can go to and kind of get a different perspective on things. And then you have Cole, who is a lot like myself from an experience standpoint. You know, we came up with the same Xfinity team, and then, you know, he's only got 1 year more in Cup. So, you know, for me, it's kind of the perfect scenario because I have all these different perspectives I can go to and get, you know, opinions on things.
Chase Briscoe is with us here on Chasing Checkers. So I remember the first time I talked to you and had you on the show, and then I've met you a couple times in the garage, that I knew what you were about, that you were a good guy, you were respectful, and you showed that a few weeks ago at Bristol with the incident with Tyler, and how you went up to him immediately and apologized for how the race ended. You didn't send a text. You didn't wait. You were a man and took care of it. And I know that a lot of people in the sport gained a lot of respect for you that, you know, maybe they didn't know you enough to have that yet. But how important was it in that moment for you to go and take care of business and kind of own it?
Yeah, for me, it was definitely important. You know, I did wrong. You know, that was never my intention going in there, was to get into Tyler. You know, so I wanted to make sure he knew that I was sorry from the very get-go. You know, I, like you said, I didn't want to send a text. I wanted to walk down there and really tell him right away. And when I walked down there, I had the full intention of getting punched in the mouth, if I'm being honest. And I was totally okay with that, just because of kind of, I felt like I deserved it, truthfully. So it all worked out, you know, having Tyler. You know, he understood where the move was coming from, and it definitely made it a little bit easier when I got to him, and he was smiling already. So, yeah, I just wanted to go down there and apologize to him. I wanted to be a man about it. And like I said, I walked down there with the intention that I was probably going to get punched, but felt like it was the right thing to do. You need to go down there and apologize.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you see it so many times in the garage area where there could be a fight after an incident like that. But I thought that was really cool how you handled that. Darlington this weekend. You know, an unknown with the new car, of course, but it's a tough track. The track too tough to tame. You don't have a ton of experience there, but what's kind of your thoughts on going to the Lady in Black?
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, Darlington is one of my favorite race tracks. It's really slick. It's wore out. There's, you know, comers and goers throughout the race, and I've always just enjoyed running laps around that place. It's a real challenge. It is really, really tough. So, yeah, for me, I definitely don't know, I guess, what to expect when it comes to the next-gen car. You know, it has driven quite a bit different at a lot of places, but it's going to be the same for everybody. Everybody's got to show up there and just try to figure it out in a very short 15-minute practice. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, be good right off the truck and from the get-go. And if we can do that, then I feel like we're having a good shot from Sunday.
Do you feel like, I asked William Byron this earlier, do you feel like that now you have the win under your belt that locks you into the playoffs? Does it give you a little more ability to take more risks to try and go get more of these wins because you know that you're locked into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I still don't think it's a guarantee right now just because you got to win that you're going to be in the playoffs. You know, with how many winners we've been having, there could definitely be, I think, more than 16 winners when it all comes down to it at the end of the regular season. So I think you still got a points race a little bit. But, I mean, this you know, kind of format they were in, wins mean so much. You know, even going into playoffs, you get 5 playoff points every time you win a race. So it's definitely important to go get wins, and you got to try to take advantage of a win opportunity every time you get.
Well, Chase, appreciate the time today as always. Enjoy the rest of your day with the family, and good luck this weekend in Darlington.
Yeah, sorry about that. He's been fighting an avid season right now, so we're trying to get through it all.
It's no worries at all. Happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 14 for Stewart Haas Racing. And, you know, he did bring this up, that even though they had the win, that you could see multiple drivers get wins this year. He finds himself right now in 10th position in the points with that win, but they've had some good runs. As he mentioned, you know, they don't always have the finishes to show for it. So I think as we get into the summer months, finding more ways to win for him is certainly going to be to his advantage. So we appreciate him for joining us. Darlington is this weekend, and coming up next, some familiar faces are the favorites. I'll tell you who all that is as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Center, and the Nashville Super Speedway. Music City is about to be overwhelmed by a symphony of speed. The inaugural Ally 400 last year debuted in front of a full capacity, sold out crowd on Father's Day weekend, and they're looking to do the same June 24th through the 26th. You can get more information and get your tickets by going to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or calling 866-RACE-TIX. You don't need to be a diehard NASCAR fan to enjoy the experience. The speed, the entertainment, and opportunity to socialize will provide a memorable experience. Get your tickets now. More Chasing Checkers next on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.
If you missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, 106.3 as well, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway as well. They'll head to Darlington Raceway this weekend for Throwback Weekend, which I'm really excited about. I love Throwback Weekend. I'm a little partial to it when it's with the Southern 500, since that's, you know, such a historic race, and it's Labor Day weekend and under the lights. So I kind of like that a little bit better, but this is cool. And seeing some of the throwback schemes that these drivers are going to run, I think is pretty cool. Team Trackhouse has definitely won, in my opinion, because they are running the Coca-Cola schemes that the Earnharts ran in Japan in 1999. It was Dale Jr.'s first ever cup race, first time racing against his dad in the number one. So Chastain will drive that number one with the polar bear on it. And then Suarez will drive the 99, but was the three, the red Coca-Cola scheme that Dale Sr. ran. So I think that's going to be really cool. You know, Junior Motorsports is running some that are going to be neat. I know Justin Marks was going to take the Skull Bandit to Darlington and run some laps on it, but I guess he's not allowed to because of the tobacco rules. But still, a Throwback Weekend, it's such a cool one. Now, I mentioned the favorites were familiar faces, and according to NASCAR.com and the odds that they get, the Championship Four of 2021 marked as the favorites at Darlington. So that would be Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., the champion Kyle Larson, and last week's winner Chase Elliott, who is, of course, coming off that win, has some momentum on his side. He runs well at Darlington. This could certainly be a spot for him to win, but an interesting weekend for him because he was asked about a certain commentator that's going to be in the Fox Sports booth for Throwback Weekend for a stage. That is, of course, his dad, the Hall of Famer, Bill Elliott.
Not a ton. Just logistics of getting over here and getting home. But, no, I think it'll be interesting. He's not much of a TV guy, so that'll be should be fun for him. And, you know, he didn't have to do it, so he said somehow or another they talked him into doing it. So why that was, I don't really know, but I think it'll be entertaining, and you know, for him, it's not something he does all the time. He wasn't one of those guys that got done racing and wanted to go do TV. So, you know, it'll be a good good vantage point for him, and look forward to seeing how he does.
So, like you said, Austin Bell is going to have a good vantage point to be able to watch his son potentially get back-to-back wins and go for one at the Darlington Raceway. Richard Petty and Bobby Labonte will be the other two drivers that will be in the booth for Throwback Weekend with Fox Sports. So I think that'll be cool as if they continue that rotation of analysts. And, you know, Throwback Weekend is special for the fans. It's special from a television standpoint, but it's also special for the drivers. And Brad Keselowski commented on that.
Yeah, Darlington's a great track, great weekend. Glad we're still, you know, making that happen. I know there's a lot of pieces moving and it's not always easy to make it happen, but I'm glad we are. You know, I've got some special things going on with Mark Martin and kind of a throwback to him, and I'm excited about that. I think Mark's going to get a lot of love with different cars this throwback weekend. So happy for him and happy to be a part of that and honoring him. It's a great initiative. I'm really proud of NASCAR for making it happen, and one I'm excited to be a part of in Darlington here in the next few weeks.
I think it's just a cool way to honor the sport. Now, this is where the moving the numbers forward, which I think I've finally gotten over, comes into play, because they still do it for Throwback Weekend, so it kind of throws things off a little bit. But that's okay. We can get past that. That audio courtesy of the Motor Racing Network is they have provided that for us. You know, another thing, I mentioned Martin Truex Jr. earlier in the show, that he had a run-in with Chastain. Dover is typically a really good track for him, and he was in position to you know, potentially be there to get the win. But he's got a lot of good tracks coming up, and I think that that's something to watch out for, because Joe Gibbs Racing hasn't quite hit it just yet. They do have a couple of wins with Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, but I feel like there's another level for them, including Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I mean, I love racing. I love working with my team, you know, working with my guys. That's always been, you know, the most satisfying part of this job, you know, working with a group to, you know, try to be successful together. You know, that's been a lot of fun. So that's no different now. Hopefully we can win soon. I mean, it's been a decent year so far. I mean, we've been okay. You know, we've had a couple tough races, but that was to be expected with this. And, you know, we've got some good tracks coming up. So if we can do our jobs well, hopefully we can put ourselves in a good position. I don't know that we're the fastest car out there right now, but maybe we can find some stuff.
And I go back to something that Chase Briscoe said with us earlier in the show. And if you missed that interview, you can subscribe to Chasing Checkers and hear the whole thing. But there could very well be 16 different winners or more this year with the way things are going. I think the next gen car has something to do with that. It's obviously everybody's got a equal playing field, and sometimes there's a little luck involved in getting a victory, but I don't know if that's far-fetched that could possibly happen. But you know, and it could happen this weekend where you have another winner. That we've only had William Byron be the multi-winner this year. So, you know, it's certainly something to pay attention to. No, I kid. Ross Chastain, I forgot about that. I corrected myself. It's in my head. I was like, wait, who is it? Ross Chastain and William Byron are the only multi-race winners this year. But then everybody else has won. Elliott, Bowman, Kyle Busch, Larson, Hamlin, Briscoe, Austin Cindric. So, I certainly think that there are others that, you know, have to do some work, and, you know, I think they will. But one driver that's been consistent is Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman already has a win on the year. I don't think he backed into a win at all, like some people may think, but, he talked about improved consistency.
Yeah. I feel like that's been a knock on us, but like at times we've been really consistent. Like the end of 20, we were really, really strong. Last year definitely were less consistent than we wanted to be, and feel like we've been good so far this year. So we've had some races like Martinsville, we struggled. It was probably the worst we've been, and other than that, just had some things out of our control at a couple. But yeah, I think we've done a good job of adapting to the next gen car. it's really interesting coming to a lot of these racetracks, not really knowing what to expect. And like the setup is almost a guess, you know, it's completely based off simulation and hoping that we get it right. And, you know, you really can't change much once you're here. So
I would certainly look at him as a potential contender on Sunday in the Goodyear 400. But you know what? I don't usually do this. I kind of give you a handful of drivers to go with, but I'm going to make a pick outright. I think Chase Elliott goes back to back. I think Chase Elliott's going to get that 9 car back in victory lane here at Darlington this weekend. So going to be a fun one to watch. If you're in Nashville, you can hear it starting at 1:30 on Sunday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My thanks to William Byron and Chase Briscoe for joining this week and for the Nashville Fairgrounds for setting that up with Byron and NASCAR with Chase Briscoe. And my thanks to all of you for listening. If you miss anything, subscribe to the podcast, Chasing Checkers, wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next week on Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.